It's wonderful. If you are able to feel a real sense of edification and God's inspiration this morning, go through some elements of the Word. Our purpose is to abide in love. Our purpose is to grow in love. And if you are here visiting this morning, we're encouraged to see you. And we hope that you'll come along with us and that you'll be blessed in doing so. This morning's message is one that I'm really excited about. It's entitled Created for a Purpose. There are two things that I'm going to be discussing in this message. One is the fact that we are created, and you might assume that's true, but do not assume that most people assume it's true. They have been conditioned and educated very clearly to think the opposite. And not only are we created, but we are created for a very specific purpose. Diverse purposes, but most importantly, a very specific purpose. And sometimes people are unaware of that, and it leads to confusion in their lives. This may sound like it's just going to be religious rhetoric if you're unaccustomed to these things, but I promise you that it is not. It is not at all. In fact, it is God's message to each and every one of us. I'm going to be preaching from Psalms 139 this morning. And in Psalms 139, there is a tremendous tribute to God as our Creator. And not just our Creator, but the all-powerful, all-present Creator that surrounds us with His love and care. As we go through these passages in Psalms 139, this will serve as the outline for my message. And interspersed, there will be some scriptures from other places. Psalms 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Now this is speaking of the knowledge of God, of each and every one of us, but particularly is He focused on those who respond to Him, those that believe in Him, trust in Him, and know His nature. We can know somebody in several different ways. We can just know them by sight. We can know them by the sound of their voice. And if we really know them, we know them more by their spirit. If we really know them, we know them by the love that they have, or even the hate that they have. Notice that it says in verse 2, you know when I sit down and when I rise. In other words, the activities of our lives. Are you comfortable with that? God knows every activity of your life. And next, He says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. There's an exception to that. There are some who God perceives. He perceives their thoughts from up close. Those are people who have God Himself, through Jesus Christ, abiding within them. If that's a strange idea to you, I welcome you to listen in an especially careful way this morning. Verse 3, you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand on me. Pay special attention to those last words in verse 5. You hem me in behind and before. That might sound like you're trapped. Well, if you're opposed to God, if you're an adversary of God, I guess you could say that may be true. But if you believe in Him and trust in Him and are fighting the fight to be closer to Him, if you are making a genuine effort to follow Him, you are hemmed in behind and before with His presence. You are continually strengthened. You are continually nourished and encouraged and admonished by His presence. By His very thoughts infiltrating your own. The Scripture says that that God actually brings inspiration to us through the Holy Spirit. If we obey Him, if we follow His commandments, if we respond to His love, and we're loving toward Him, He actually abides with us, and not only with us, but in us. Here you might picture the Lord going before you, preparing the way for you. Well, John the Baptist prepared the way for Christ. That's a servant's position. And God, believe it or not, has made Himself a servant to us. We are precious to Him in ways that we only begin to understand as Christians. And He makes Himself a servant to us. And then it says, you've hemmed me in before, not only before, going before us, but behind us. He's behind us, guarding our way, making sure that we're guided in the path, and making sure that we're walking a straight path. By the way, do you know the shortest way between two points in life? A straight line, just like it is in geometry. So we need to go straight. It's a straight line, the shortest way between two points. Not only does He hem us in before and aft, but also He goes with us. And that picture, again, is a picture of friendship, of close fellowship. How could the eternal God of creation be close to us? That's a reasonable question. We're going to look at that this morning. And it says, finally, that you lay your hand upon me. That is a gesture of familiarity. It's a gesture of love. It's a gesture of friendship. He lays His hand upon us. I'm about to share with you a couple things that are unsettling. But just hang on to your seats. That may look familiar to you if you've been up floating around space for a long time. And it may not. There are some interesting things happening out there. Now hang on, how many people just tuned out? Well, you can't raise your hand because you're not paying attention. All right. If you just tuned out, are you listening to me now? If you just tuned out, let me assure you of something. This looks spooky. It seems a little scary. You know, the vast universe and all the stars and all that empty space and explosions happening and chaos out there. There really is. And some people tune out because they get scared when they think about this. But I want you to tune in because you're going to find out that that insecurity is going to supernaturally turn into real security. Does that look familiar? It is a galaxy, not unlike the galaxy in which we live. Now, the planet Earth would be located in this galaxy representative just about there. You are here. Thank you. How did that happen? I didn't do that. Must be the Lord's intervention. We're about two-thirds of the way out from the center of our galaxy. One-third of the way, we'd be sucked into the middle and burned up. You know, maybe another third of the way out, and we would be drifting and lost forever. We would turn into ice cubes, or ice something, anyway. We just happen to be the right distance from the center of our galaxy. Now, something even scarier than this, how many stars are in the Milky Way? How many?
One.
The one that's closest to us. That's the only one we're concerned about. How many of you would say 100 billion? How many would say 200 billion? Okay, Lucky raised her hand. We're going to go with Lucky. She's probably the closest. 200 billion. What do you say? Well, yeah, that's a lot, I guess. How much is a billion? How many is a billion? If you don't know, don't worry about it. Congress doesn't know either. How many is a billion? It's a one with a bunch of zeros behind it. But consider this. That thing that you're looking at, that galaxy with about 200 billion stars, from a distance out in the universe, appears to be just another star. In fact, when you look up in the sky and you see stars, many of those are actually galaxies, like our own, even bigger than our own. They're not just stars. Is that mind-boggling? Because you can see a lot of stars, and then to find out that a lot of those are actually galaxies is mind-boggling. So, of all those billions and billions of stars, each galaxy made up of billions and billions, there are billions and billions of galaxies. Roughly 100 billion galaxies. The diameter of our universe is estimated currently to be about 18 billion light years, the diameter. What does that mean? Well, if you got at one end and went into a rocket ship that went 186,000 miles per second, you would reach the other end of the galaxy, or pardon me, the universe, in about 18 billion, is that right, years. In other words, it's going to take a long, long time to get there. 18 billion years at 186,000 miles per second. It sounds like a good ride, doesn't it? Okay, now hang on. If you're beginning to feel insecure about living on a little speck of dust floating around one of the stars in the galaxy, hang on, you might begin to feel more insecure yet. That is a picture of space. There are some strange things there, most notably some blank spots. That leaves some room for the imagination. Or sometimes there are strange, what occurs to be clouds. Sometimes there are rather colorful phenomena out there in the strange universe. Sometimes there appear to be, what does that look like? It looks like a hole. Well, it does that sometimes. We don't know why. Someday we will. That actually is not a black hole. There are such things out there. We won't talk about those now. Very interesting. You know, one thing about it is you can never see them. We can't see what they're like or what they do, because you can't see them because they're black. They're so dense that they absorb all light around them. Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, considering all of that, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why should he even be aware of me? You know, one translation says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? we are all sons of men. What is he that you visit him? Oh, you can leave those, Rick. We're about to embark on a longer journey yet. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you visit him? Could you imagine God visiting us? What a thought. Well, of course he did. We know that. We have the privilege of looking back in actual history, and anybody that doubts it can simply look back in actual history and see that it was true. That God has actually visited us and now does visit each one of us as we turn to him, give our lives to Christ and trust in him. Now, we're here on earth. We're not out floating around somewhere in the galaxy doing all this stuff. We're here on earth, and sometimes it may look something like this. That's exciting. To be able to look up in the dark night sky and see all of those stars just gleaming from above and to let your mind wander. Well, maybe that's a scary thing. For me, it's not. It's a wonderful thing. There are so many things in God's creation that are wonderful to the X power. Just a few of them I want to share with you this morning. Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. It's all around us. Literally, we are surrounded by the creations of God. Everybody knows this. From every land, everybody who has ever opened their eyes should know it. And if they don't, there is no excuse. The scripture says that some are willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. You know what that means? Stupid on purpose. They're willingly ignorant of the creation that God has made. Now, why would anybody do such a thing? Well, very simply, because they cannot tolerate the thought of God, who is all-powerful, who has created us and exists all around us. They have to do something. They have to deny him, and so they resort to supernatural stupidity. Notice verse 2. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. The day speaks to us. Go out there, feel the breeze in your face, and quit taking it for granted, and think about it. God designed it, and he rejoices when you enjoy what he has given you. Remember, he's our servant. He has given you enormous things, but then we, in our supernatural stupidity, have gone through life, sailing along through life, ignoring the blessings that he has surrounded us with. We become so focused on the little things that are inconvenient, the little things that we don't like, the little things that step on our toes, saying, well, you know, life is a drag. Well, yes, I guess it is, if you're supernaturally stupid. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. Even the nighttime gives a knowledge of God. You look up at the sky, you see the stars, the moon, the sun. Speaking of which, do you know that the sun is 93 million miles away from us? Sure, you learned that in grade school. But did you know that if it was just 10% closer, actually even much less than that, just a little bit closer, we would all fry. If it was just a few percent further away, we would all freeze. It's really true. In its orbit around the sun, the Earth has to maintain some serious regularity. If it doesn't, if it alters in its path just a bit, we're all in big trouble. For instance, in the trajectory of the Earth, if we are 1/8, we vary 1/8 of an inch from a straight line every 8 every 18 miles. Just that small fraction, just 1/8 of an inch. If it were 1/7 of an inch every 18 miles, we would be far enough away from the sun that we would freeze. If it were just 1/10 more, that is 1/9 or 1/10 less, I got it backwards, 1/10 less, we would be, we would alter in our course that much further. On one side, we would fry, on the other side, we would freeze. So just that little deviation shows a huge factor of design. There can't be any reasonable question about it. Did you know that without the moon, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Without the moon, we could not exist. Did you know that? It's true for several reasons. Our gravitational forces depend upon it. Our surf depends upon it. And most importantly, the angle of the axis from a perpendicular to the sun is only 23.5 degrees. That is made by the moon. If it wasn't for the moon, that wouldn't happen. And the weather patterns here on Earth would make life really, really miserable, so that it would be, life as we know it would really and truly cease to exist. And the worst part of it all, there wouldn't be any surfing. There wouldn't be any surf. Nothing to speak of, at least. About a quarter of the gravitational pull that brings the surf is from the sun. About 3/4 of it is from the moon. And oh, by the way, you know the moon is just the right distance from us to make all this happen? Strange thing, evolution. Job 37:14 says, hearken unto this, stand still. Stand still, that's an instruction to stop. Because as humans, we tend to just go on and on in the patterns that we're used to, and we just keep going. In fact, when we want to distract our own attention from something we don't want to look at, we just keep on going. Here it says, stand still. Stop. Whatever you're thinking, whatever you're doing, and it says, consider the wondrous works of God. In Psalms 139, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too wonderful for me. I want to share something with you right now that is going to be a prelude to a program that we're beginning tonight. It will be tonight here at 6 o'clock. And as this plays, I want you to think about this. God has made things too wonderful for us. That thought strikes me frequently.
Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Now, years ago, there was a little bit of a contest, it seems, to determine how many stars there were. Now, Jeremiah tells us that the stars are countless, but we've had people who've tried to count them. You may recall, in 128 BC, Hipparchus counted them, and he came up with 1,026. Can you imagine that? Kepler counted them in 1600 AD because he said Hipparchus may have double counted some, and he came up with 1,005. Do you know that we have counted the stars as best we can now with the technology we have, the Hubble telescope? Do you know how many stars we've counted? In 2003, and that's the latest count I could find, there were 70 sextillion stars. Let me think about that. What do we have? We have a million. We have a billion. We have a trillion, and now we're getting up to places it's hard for us to understand. And then we have a quadrillion. And then we have a pentillion, is what I think of from my German background. A pentillion, and we finally get to a sextillion. 21 zeros. How can you even begin to fathom that? What an incredible thing that pays people. It is not difficult when you're standing out before the grandeur of God's creation, when you just look at the skies, to not be filled with wonder, with a deep wonder. In fact, it's easy at that point to begin to look at what God has given to us and become more like a child at that moment, and to begin to look at what God has done more through the eyes of a child. I'd like for you to look at that through the eyes of a child for a moment.
Rises, the stars can never fall.
Why dry land is never satisfied by them.
Why fire never shows him up.
I wonder, why can't I see the wind, but I can feel it?
Cows can burn.
Why can burn?
Did you ever wonder how an eagle floats?
Where our babies come from?
Where babies come from?
Where people going to die?
Where heaven is?
Did you know that my fingerprint is the only one like it in the entire world?
My tongue too.
Did you ever wonder how the hummingbird survives for 60 miles per hour and come up to an abrupt stop?
When you first met something, he's past fucking
cool.
Did you ever wonder why there are so many beautiful shapes of skins on the lizard to grow a new tail?
No.
Here's some for you.
And it's fine that it's just me to tell you this little known fact. 50,000 cells in your body will die down and be replaced with new ones.
Did you ever wonder how a sneeze zooms out of your mouth at over 100 miles per hour?
And how much your face can size your skin head
can grow into a very big tree?
How a caterpillar can turn into a beautiful butterfly?
If there's anything at the end of the galaxy, if there's anything outside of time,
how it all stays there going?
Did you ever wonder?
I do.
Have you ever wondered some of those things? That's a lot to wonder all at one time, isn't it? I'd say. We are surrounded by wonders that God has given us for the purpose of gaining our attention, helping us to understand His nature, drawing us toward Him. And if we respond to that, He reveals more of His nature, more of His heart to us as we continue on. Job 37:14 says, "Hearken unto this, stand still, and consider the wonders of God." Such knowledge, back to Psalms 139, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. You see, it is grace. When God gives you knowledge and understanding of His things, it is a delight to your soul as you believe in Him. And that becomes obviously to you a result of His grace, a gift that He gives us. It's a gift when He excites the wonder in your mind and when He fills it with the delight of His creation. Verse 7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Have you ever felt like fleeing from the presence of God, maybe His attention? Sometimes people hide. Adam and Eve did, but not until they had sinned. When people sin, they hide from God. What a tragedy, and what an empty life. Verse 8, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. He is everywhere. And so you might think, well, that's scary, just like the space thing. You just feel overwhelmed by it, and you feel suspicious that you're just a speck of dust floating around in the universe. And, by the way, if that's what you believe, then really, that's all you are. Because what gives you a real purpose, a real meaning in this world? It isn't being a speck of dust somewhere floating around in the universe. It's the fact that you were created as one who is intended to see that God actually cares. That He has given His attention to us. Who are we that He should give His attention to us? Well, the answer is nobody. But it is His delight to give to those who are willing to see, to speak to those who are willing to hear, to fulfill the hearts of those who are willing to love. Wherever we go, God is there. That might feel frightening, but really, it's not. In Matthew 18:13, Jesus said, unless you become converted and become as what? As children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So in other words, there has to be a conversion, a point where we draw the line and say that's it and mean it. Not everybody has times in their lives where they draw the line and they say that's it and they mean it, but they can't stick with it. How do you remedy that problem? One answer, and one answer only. Self-determination, which is what we are taught very often in school, and very often by friends, and very often by Amway. Self-determination is what will give you the power to do whatever you want to do. But that's not true. It is God's power. It is His gift that will give you power to do what you want to do if you delight in His way. If you don't, your life will be filled with futility and darkness. Verse 12 says, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. The night will shine like the day. It makes me think of Revelation, where it talks about heaven, and it tells us that there in heaven there will be no night. It is going to be light and bright continually. God never closes His eyes. God never sleeps. He doesn't need sleep. Can we comprehend that? Not really. But we are going to be as He is, the Scripture says. It says then in verse 13, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. God's power to do abundantly beyond everything that we understand, everything that we know, is evident when we think about it. I want to share with you a few things that really are helpful to know. It's obvious that the universe was designed. It is not a product of chance. When you consider the very close, precise measurements that were necessary to provide a universe surrounding us that sustains life here, you would not believe the things that had to come out of the universe in order to sustain life here. If you've ever looked at the chemical table You see all the numbers of chemicals that exist? Roughly two dozen of them are necessary for your survival. And you know where those chemicals came from? Some of them could not have come just from Earth. Some of them had to come from other sources. Oh, we're made out of space dust. Well, from the dust we come, and to the dust we shall return. Scripture says it. We experience it on a rather regular basis. Friends, relatives, people that we know that pass away. Well, is that all we are? Just a speck of dust? Well, in one sense, yes. If we don't believe in the Lord. Because there is no hope without Him. The design of the universe is an inevitable conclusion if you really look at it, which you're not inclined to do if you are supernaturally stupid. In the center of the sun, actually a large part of the center of the sun, the temperature is 20 million degrees Celsius. Is that higher than 20 million degrees Fahrenheit? Yeah, I know. Who cares? It's hot. 20 million degrees. I know of a prophet who years ago said, not only are there, and this was many years ago when nobody could prove otherwise, not only are there men on the moon, but there are, if the truth was known, if the truth was known, men on the sun. Think about that for a while. It was a false prophet. No surprise there. Did you know that you are traveling right now at well over 60,000 miles per hour? You say, it doesn't feel like it. Boy, if we had one of those crazy cars that would just do that, there'd be a lot of people at that race track. Well, we are. You see, because we're rotating about our axis as the Earth, about 1,000 miles per hour. That's pretty fast. That's faster than a Boeing 747 flies. And we are going that fast in a circle. We are traveling at 600,000 miles an hour around the sun. It's a long journey. It takes us a year, even at 600,000 miles per hour. That's fast. But not nearly as fast as our journey through the orbit that we're making around the center of our galaxy, which is the Milky Way. There we are going 600,000 miles per hour. So we're moving right along. Feel like you didn't make any progress today? Well, maybe you feel a little bit better. Do you think that the exact parameters, placements that we have in the universe are just an accident? We are exactly the right distance from the sun, exactly the right distance from the moon. We live on a globe that's exactly the right diameter, has exactly the right atmospheric pressure, has exactly the right tilt, exactly the right amount of water. Too much water, we're in trouble. Too little, we're really in trouble. It has exactly the right weight and mass, and so on and on and on. All an accident? Really? All an accident? What about the composition of your body, the human body? An accident? No way. You just have to look at the facts. Verse 14, Psalms 139, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We should, all of us, really know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Referring perhaps to the fact that from dust we come and to dust we return. But our spirit, the scripture says, belongs to the Lord. Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed body all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. When you hear and see the thoughts of God, and you should regularly, at least every day, when you abide in His Word, the Bible, you are looking at the thoughts of God. They should become precious to you. You should thirst for them like the water, hunger for them like food. Speaking of which, you know some of our bees are dying off? Have you heard that? It's been a big concern lately. That's really a concern for me. I'll tell you why. If the bees go away, our food resources are cut by one third. That's a fact. If just the bees go away, our food sources are cut by one third. It is an amazing balance that we live in here on planet Earth. I don't know why that gets me so much. One third of the food. I think I'll make a film warning people about the disappearing bees. Forget about global warming. You know, the bees going away, that really concerns me. Well, I'm not worried about global warming because I know it's going to happen. There will be global warming. You know what I'm talking about. Scripture says that the elements will melt with a fervent heat. It's going to happen. And reducing our carbon dioxide emissions is not going to help a bit, believe me. He talks in verse 17 about how precious God's thoughts are to him. Verse 18, were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And still feeling insecure, when I awake, I am still with you. You see? When you pray at night, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Well, you know, He does. Every morning that you open your eyes is another testimony to God's grace. It says, if I were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. How many grains of sand are there in this world? All the beaches of the world, all the sand in all the deserts and all the beaches of the world, how many grains of sand are there? How much? Okay. I'll tell you something about that. There are more than 100 times as many stars. Maybe that helps you understand how much a billion is, or a billion billion, or a sextillion. Pretty interesting. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God's hand is with us. He protects us. He guards us. He continually wants to nurture us, and His heart is broken when we just turn away from Him because we want our own way. There are only two possibilities. I want you to consider this in conclusion. This may sound oversimplified. Trust me, it is not. There are only two possibilities. Creation, that is Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Second, chance. Those are the only two possibilities. If anybody knows the third, please tell me, because if you do, it will rock my world, I promise you. First, creation. Second is chance. If it's chance, then that means you are an accident. You know, I don't think sometimes children learn from their parents, and I don't think they ever should, that they are an accident. And, you know, that kind of weighs on their thinking. And sometimes people in this world say, well, yeah, we're all just an accident. And that weighs on their thinking. What are the chances that this all happened by an accident? Well, somebody has described it as a tornado that hit a junkyard. And out of it came a Boeing 747. Just all set, ready to go. Now, what do you think? What's your opinion? Do you think that's going to happen? No way. It's not going to happen. There are two world views in contrast to one another. One is we're created. The other is that we happen by accident. Evolution. The universe exploded into existence out of nothing. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created. Secondly, life evolved, according to evolution, from a pool of chemicals by a natural process, and according to the Bible, God created all life. Third, coming right up, there are different forms of life that evolved from a common ancestor over millions of years ago, and the Bible says God created all life after its time. Those are the only two possibilities, one side or the other. Notice on the right side, and it is the right side, believe me, in the beginning God created. God created all life, and God created all life after its kind. It did not just evolve from one to another to another. Every kind, whether it's seed of plants or of animals, recreates after its kind. It is immutable. You cannot change it. It has always existed that way and always will. And that precludes evolution by itself. I realize this may not seem like any conclusive argument to many of you. The answer is, come tonight, and for the next 12 Sunday nights, we're going to be following a program that will conclusively show it to you if you have a mind, a heart for the truth. We have a notebook that you'll receive if you come to that, and you'll find some helpful notes here to kind of help you along the way. This is going to be an ambitious project on our part, as well as those who created it, and it will be a great blessing to you. It will take some additional investment of time. That's very little in trade for what you'll receive. Was the universe made for us? Well, you decide. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Well, it wasn't so long ago, and it wasn't so far away. In fact, it was right here. God is not nearly as far as sometimes people think. We have no point of reference. We feel insecure if we don't know what the real center of life is, what the real purpose of life is. The purpose of our life is shown, the center of our life is shown when we understand what it really is. Jesus is designed as the center of our life. When we place Him there, everything takes on new perspective, new priorities for everything in our lives. It's my prayer that you will begin to see Jesus as that center. Whether you're a believer or not, to see Him as the center is the critical thing. Some people spend their lives pondering the meaning of existence, the purpose of life, and we know the purpose of life. We know why we are here. And that makes all the difference in the world. Not only that, all the difference in the universe. There. See that butterfly? He couldn't exist either if it wasn't for some of the stardust that brought him around. We're not going to have a song of invitation. I'm going to close with a word of prayer. And after that prayer, we're doing it a little differently this morning. After that prayer, we're going to have